I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that is Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, October 5th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. Let's sort of pick up where we left off yesterday. But first, perhaps a bit of levity. So small town police blotters are entertaining sometimes. For example, this, these two entries, Tuesday, 9/21, 5:57 p.m., a man at a hospital facility called 911 because the kitchen wouldn't make him scrambled eggs. Followed by another entry the following morning, Wednesday, 9/22, 8:12 a.m., a man called 911 because a nurse would not give him more sausage for breakfast. You wonder, is it the same man? Anyway, this is small town kind of stuff. But then reading further down, 3:54 p.m., on Thursday, 9/23, someone concerned about guns in the community was advised that in Montana, it is not illegal to have a gun. You ain't from around here, is ya? So that sort of leads to some of this other stuff. I thought it was interesting, you know, looking at Sotheby's listings for the Whitefish area in Montana. I've talked about Whitefish lately. I've seen this happen. I watched it happen in North Idaho. And so it should be, with what's going on in Whitefish, that whole area, that whole Flathead Valley area in Montana should go full fascist within, I don't know, less than 10 years. 5 to 10 years, based on what's going on in places like Post Falls, Idaho. And just as an example, I mean, these real estate prices are insane. I mean, it's completely untenable. So just as an example, a few listings, let's see, this one, actually this listing is in Big Fork, It says $6.75 million. This spectacular opportunity includes a large ranch home with living quarters for two full families and breathtaking views. Large ranch home, but it's 9.24 acres. So, I don't know, maybe you come from California where you have one of those little, I don't know, it's kind of like a chia pet surrounded by concrete. Looks more like a chia pet. It's a little patch of grass, and they call that land or something sometimes in places like California. So 9.24 acres is not a large ranch home by any stretch of the imagination, certainly not in Montana. Next entry, $839,000, exclusive opportunity to enjoy all that Whitefish Lake has to offer. This is a two-bed, two-bath turnkey unit for $839,000. $1.1 million, Whitefish Mountain Resort. There are a lot of folks excuse me, in the area who say it's not Whitefish Mountain. It's still Big Mountain. After all, this property is located on Big Mountain Road, so that's a whole different conversation. Unparalleled location in the heart of the village at Whitefish Mountain Resort. Three-bed, three-bath, end unit for $1.1 million. And then there's units in this development on Whitefish Mountain or Big Mountain, depending on who you are and how long you've been in the area. Almost 60% sold, three bedroom, four bedroom, and penthouse suites available. Prices starting at $2.145 million. So, you know, you look at these kinds of things and you wonder, here's perhaps an even better example. Columbia Falls has historically been a blue-collar town in Montana. And so here's a listing. Lot number 43 with mature pines is located at the end of a cul-de-sac. Oh, so it's a PUD kind of situation. That's anathema in Montana as far as I know anyway. Views of Blacktail Ski Mountain. That's interesting because that's kind of on the other end of the world. But whatever. So this 1.32 acres is listed for, you know, bare land. Lot number 43. Listed for $225,000 in Columbia Falls. So, very interesting stuff. And you can see the creeping influence in the related stories, for example. Let's see. The roadway developments. Here's an article. MDT, Montana Department of Transportation, presents Highway 93 urban corridor options in Whitefish. So it's the state versus the city's steering committee. And this is interesting. Where is that? Workmen Let's see. So, City of Whitefish Public Works Director Craig Workman says MDT's plan differs from the city's transportation plan, which aims to accommodate cyclists and pedestrians with a goal of reducing vehicles on the roads. Maurice Strong would be proud. So, again, you know, historically, I mean, if you go back just a generation or so ago to logging trucks dominating the roadways and doing it in a way that somehow was never off-putting to folks. Skipping forward to now, you know, getting rid of vehicles, a goal of reducing vehicles on the roads to accommodate cyclists and pedestrians. It's a very strange thing, I would say. And then this story, Logan Health, I've talked about that organization as part of the administrative putsch of the healthcare industry, if you will. Logan Health calls in National Guard, exactly. And so this is something that I think is fascinating. We're seeing this happening in real time, and I think it's astonishing that folks are not horrified. But it's part of the systematic desensitization of all things, really. You know, I've talked about how there are these episodes that, well, there's another broadcast that folks listen to quite frequently, apparently. And recently there was a settlement, I guess, regarding the Sandy Hook situation. So folks listened to a broadcast, and that broadcast, the one that I'm thinking of, is notorious for painting a picture that is like a 10 or an 11 on the Richter scale, maybe 8, 9, 10. And when events happen that are 2, 3, 4 on the Richter scale, they go unnoticed by people who listen to that kind of stuff. Because, you know, they sort of dismiss it, saying, well, you know, sure, something happened, or maybe they don't even notice, but they say, you know, it wasn't this 8, 9, 10, 11 kind of thing on the Richter scale. So, you know, that's a curious thing. So just as we were encouraged to become morbidly preoccupied with the specter of communism during the mid-20th century, only later discovering that maybe that was target fixation and maybe someone or other was trying to get us morbidly preoccupied. And Howard Zinn had some great remarks on that, how ridiculous it was, how absurd. So just as we were encouraged to become morbidly preoccupied with the specter of communism during the mid-20th century and subsequently failed to recognize that we had settled into precisely the kind of scientific socialism that the Fabians and Rhodes Milner intriguers dreamed of, you know, back to the days of Plato's Republic. So too, I would say, now we have failed to recognize, you know, as another sort of parallel example to this, we've failed to recognize after the January 6th Capitol LARPing episode that we have been systematically desensitized to seeing National Guard troops involved in everything, everywhere, in every state, including this example. Logan Health calls in National Guard. And this is the danger of the dialectical way, the dialectical conflict model. The gift of FIDA, whom Russell quoted as saying education should aim at destroying free will, the gift of FIDA erroneously attributed to Hegel. So Logan Health calls in National Guard, and this subtitle, unvaccinated younger COVID patients representing higher share of hospitalization and death. Hospitalizations and deaths. And that is precisely what Geert Van den Bosch projected. It is the plague of the vaccinated on the unvaccinated. That's what's happening. If what he speculated is accurate, and it seems to be the case. You read, I mean, if you can believe anything that's published in print these days, then folks are saying, you know, there's a high number of folks who, let's see, in this publication, for example, there are the numbers here in the front. This week's polls from the Flathead Beacon. Have you received the COVID-19 vaccine? Total votes, 177, 80% yes, 20% no. But it's maybe disingenuous because folks that read this left-leaning publication. You know, are those kinds of folks who would, like the police blotter entry would call and, you know, concerned about, I'm concerned about guns. I'm reading in this publication, people are advertising the sale of firearms. What is that all about? Well, you know, and you know, it's funny that this is a polite, well-mannered area, generally speaking. Maybe Robert Heinlein was right. Manners are good when, you know, an armed society is a polite society. Manners are good when one might have to back up one's acts with one's life. So last entry here, and then back to yesterday's stuff. There's this kind of stuff, this creeping influence. Speaking of the shift from an armed society to a polite society, somehow logging trucks managed to operate on roads without creating disgruntled local residents. To this kind of nonsense now. This is the, I would say, the quintessential example of stupidity and irony. So you have, you know, this ad paid for by Flathead Reproductive Rights. Oh, Flathead Eugenicists. Got it. And the headline, you know, it's typical drab communist black and red. We are ruthless now. And ruthless is hyphenated, ruthless, and capitalized. There's a picture of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, of course. We are ruthless now. Act accordingly. What kind of message does that send? You know? I'm surprised maybe that they didn't have Ruth Bader Ginsburg raising the Marxist fist or something. The Otpor canvas, Gene Sharp, you know, color revolutionary fist. Ruthless reproductive rights. Provocateurs of the world unite, eugenicists. So we are ruthless now, act accordingly. There's a march that took place a few days ago. Meet at City Hall in Whitefish, of course. And this is where it gets ironic and stupid. Masks required! ! Part of the National Women's Rights March. Blah, 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 blah. Down at the bottom, my body, my choice. Stand up and march if you believe that government should not make your medical decisions. I mean, okay, first of all, masks required, my body, my choice. Both of those lines have exclamation marks. Is that not just exceedingly stupid? Masks required, my body, my choice. And then finally, stand up and march if you believe the government should not make your medical decisions. In the area, and these people are probably the same folks who will clamor for and demand mass vaccination, of course, and that it be applied to everyone. These are the Nazis. Here they are, right here. This is how it happens historically. And it creeps into sleepy little bedroom communities all across America. I watched this happen in North Idaho, and it's happening in Montana and other places now. And it's not good. I mentioned this farm story the other day. I should get back to that at some point. Selling the farm, the agricultural community is shrinking in the Flathead Valley as landowners sell to developers, impacting the farming culture and rural community. And there's this talk about how, well, you know, what do you do? Because, I mean, if you can, you're only getting maybe $1,000 an acre farming in a good year, but you can sell this stuff, you can sell the same dirt for, I don't know, $30,000 an acre. Well, guess what? You sell it once and it's gone. And as has been noted from that article, no, actually, excuse me, in a good year, $100 an acre compared to $30,000 an acre that it's selling for. So as one gentleman put it, the thing about development is it's irreversible. Once farmland is developed, it will never be farmland again, erasing the agricultural community from portions of the area forever. Not to mention, you know, as the food goes, Stick around. I'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. There's that image that floats around on social media. King of the Hill, Hank talking to Dale, saying, you know, if you sell your house to somebody from California, I'll, you know, do something bad. And basically the image says, you know, everyone in Texas right now or in any of these, you know, rural states, but there is a mass exodus. I would call it coercive engineered migration, as Kelly Greenhill put it, and it's not a good thing. So we have to you know, there are some hard decisions. It's interesting what starts to happen. There are mechanisms people don't understand. Inflation, for example, is something that we should not have, plain and simple. Who was it? Well, I mentioned a quote from William Jennings Bryan's Cross of Gold speech yesterday. Speaking of folks who have told us we shouldn't be bribed with our own money, that's worth, maybe we should play that. You can listen to it online. It's recorded. So inflation does some very peculiar things in ways that most people don't. We've heard from folks from the founding era on forward, this is not a good thing. You know, it was what Andrew Jackson was talking about when he said, you know, the paper currency debauched our society. That's what it does. It creates this gamble and lottery system, as Keynes put it in The Economic Consequences of the Peace. You know, the godfather of the system, so to speak. And it lends itself to chicanery and dishonesty and unscrupulous kind of behavior by everyone, including, you know, I remember a few years ago when Glenn Beck said, when the women in a society start going this sort of fascist, tyrannical, eugenicist direction, you know we're in trouble. And by the same token, I would say when you see farmers starting to say kind of the same things, you know we're in trouble, big trouble. And so, you know, speaking of this article, I mean, that's what's happening. So these farms, in some cases, six generation farms, you know, people are now saying, well, what do we do? $100 per acre profit per year on a good year versus $30,000 per acre. You know, we can sell it. Yeah, but once it's gone, I mean, that's it. And it's more than that. Because, you know, you have guys like that, you know, Jabba the Hutt saying, if you control food, you control people. And don't worry, Big Ag will take care of you. Never mind the fact that Big Ag and Big Pharma are essentially, you know, two wings of the same operation, and they work together hand in glove, as folks like Dr. Stephanie Seneff have pointed out. Don't worry about that. Once farmland is developed, it will never be farmland again, erasing the agricultural community. For erasing portions of it forever. And I've seen so many articles about this kind of stuff, you know, so the busyness comes along with the inflation, the pace, because, you know, you have to, it's that whole economic model of perpetual growth. We always have to have perpetual growth. And you, I don't know if you've been in these kinds of sales meetings. I have. For, you know, Fortune 500 or 100 companies where, you know, you're hearing you have to have perpetual growth and we're always growing, and you're thinking as you're looking at these numbers based on, you know, market penetration, market saturation, these numbers are untenable. This is not possible. But, you know, that's what we're going to do. And that's the insanity. We're going to find new and better ways to do that, and we're going to keep driving costs down and revenues up because we have to beat this monster of inflation. It lends itself to a host of unscrupulous activities and insanity, really, I would say. Stick around, we'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop and Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop and Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back. Couple quick thoughts on this article and then to the phones. It's just really astonishing, you know. Sending more girls to STEM training will not save us. Anyway, that's a different discussion. So, this article says farmers in the Flathead view development as inevitable. despite their love for agriculture and open space. There are guys who can do other things. I mean, this article opens with the story of Derek Kruger, who is a generational farmer who moved away to pursue underwater welding in Florida and then came back, and now he's farming again. And so there are a lot of folks who choose to do this for love, you might say, as much as anything else. They can do, you know, a farmer can do anything. They wear lots of hats anyway. So farmers in the Flathead and really everywhere view development as inevitable despite their love for agriculture and open space. Skipping ahead, but the tax break. Okay, so some landowners donate their land for conservation easements, but the tax break doesn't come close to the market value and is appraised at different values depending on its purpose. And let's see, at Flathead Land Trust, land protection specialist Ryan Hunter says, while conservation easements offer a tax incentive, they can't compete with developers. And so with all of those things, you know, take those things into consideration, it's almost as if it was planned that way. Pun perhaps intended. And so this says, so Kruger says conservation easements are going to help, but someone has to foot the bill between selling the land and putting it into conservation. There's a big disparity there. That amount of money has to be laid up somewhere. Otherwise, who is going to do it? Again, the fix is in and the game is rigged. It's almost as if it's planned that way. So where is the foundation that makes a grant or an endowment, really, that can be, you know, so the money is set up? Some people don't think this way. It's dishonest. It's really unscrupulous at a certain level to rig a game so that you can pay a bunch of, you know, a high profile law firm to set something up in perpetuity. And it really goes against what Jefferson said, which I agree. You know, the earth belongs in usufruct to the living. That the dead have neither rights nor claim to it, is it? I forget. I think that's what it is. Anyway, so that's what ends up happening. And you have to have these fancy things. You know, there's an aspect of this that's not new, but, you know, it shouldn't be happening. In simple terms. So the agricultural community will have to shrink to what the farmland can support, Kruger said. And I would just add, again, when we lose it, it's gone forever. And so you look at some of the comments, the gentrification of everywhere, basically. Maybe I'll come back to the comments. But, you know, the comments like this: I held my grandmother's hand when I was 10 years old, watching the beautiful farmhouse I grew up in being burnt to the ground to make way for the biggest General Motors factory yet to be built in the early 60s. This lady writes, being born and raised here, it makes me sick to see this happening. The younger generation are selling off what they inherited. That's not always the case. That gets to my comments yesterday on Facebook that I mentioned. Maybe I'll get to that later. This conflict people get sucked into, and they don't necessarily disagree. That's really unfortunate. This one, my great-great-grandparents bought their farm in the Lower Valley in 1910, and my late father sold it a couple of years ago. We're glad the new owners will keep farming it, although differently than the diversified operation my grandfather ran. That is a longer comment. Maybe I'll come back to that. Last one, and then to the phones. Instant wealth, and eventually we will be short on produce and dependent on foreign countries for it. Or worse, I say, multinational or supranational monolithic agribusiness. Big pharma, big ag, is there any separation? Don't worry, DARPA will help, and we can grow self-regenerating skin on your tomatoes and things. It's going to be fun. It's all great. There's nothing wrong with it, dear comrades. To the phones, John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome. I don't know. John? Do we have John? All right. We'll come back. Let me know, please. So, yeah, this person comments, I wonder what our grandkids are going to eat or even where they will live. This person comments, I've lived here for basically my entire life and the valley has just been overrun. Yeah. And so, you know, it is in part driven by inflation is one of the mechanisms. It's not the primary. It's kind of a ripple effect, but it generates what Kelly Greenhill refers to as coercive engineered migration, because people fleeing, you know, refugees fleeing places like California and New York have to go somewhere. And where are they going to go? They're going to go somewhere that isn't as crazy as where they are and that is more affordable, quote unquote, with a lower cost of living, or so it seems. And, you know, again, this becomes, in turn, the gentrification of everywhere. So you have to ask yourself at some point, if things are so great in these enclaves that are becoming increasingly Brazilianized, to borrow from Michael Lind, then why are people fleeing? And why would you want to take that somewhere and infect somewhere else with what you're, you know, fleeing? But I guess, you know, as the saying goes, common sense isn't too common, and you end up with this, things like, you know, we are ruthless now, act accordingly. Masks required, that sounds ruthless. My body, my choice, that sounds stupid. Sounds ignorant, as far as I can tell. So I think that's ironic. This is what you end up with. So when I talked the other day about C.S. Lewis's The Abolition of Man, Cultural Annihilation by Suicide, etc., I mentioned Jacques Ellul, the Technological Society, talking about how the Technological Society will grant the supreme luxury of useless revolt and an acquiescent smile. And so, you know, that's what this ruthless nonsense reminds me of. But it's not useless, is it? Because everything, you know, you think of Soylent Green, basically everything gets repurposed, including the useless, the so-called useless revolt. It's very useful. To the phones, John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, that's weird. Anyway, I remember 15 years ago or so, maybe 20 now, the big thing here in Tennessee was conservation, the trust. And people were giving up their probably allodial titled land to a nature conservancy so that their family could live on it until everyone died, then it would revert to the state.
This stuff was up that in was the, probably in homesteaded, Smokies. Right?
Right, and this was up in the Smokies. Now, to go back to your comment afterwards, I live in a little town of about 3,500 people, and I can go downtown on a Friday night, see Lamborghinis, Porsches, Ferraris, down on a little two-lane postcard picture downtown area of our small town where people are coming in from California. What comes to mind, Chris, was Thomas Jefferson, when he talked about unfettered immigration, what exactly was he talking about?
Yeah.
You know, they will bring with them their, what did he call it, their beliefs, their proclivities to debauched behavior. He put it somehow like that. mm-hmm. that they'll bring it with them. And we welcome people in. Now, kind of an aside, my brother-in-law was a caretaker for an old farmer that was in his 90s. He had no family, but he had over 900 acres of land. My brother-in-law took care of him for many years, attending to every need, literally, physical and otherwise, because he was unable. As a result, he wound up inheriting land or being left the land that this gentleman bought in the mid-1940s for about $35 an acre, 900 acres.
Wow.
When he sold the land, he left it to my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law built a brand-new house and mismanaged financial resources and decided to sell it. Well, Brooks and Dunn bought the property, immediately
wow.
tore down the new house that my brother-in-law had just built, and probably paid where someone else had paid 40-some dollars an acre. They probably paid. It was bottom land. It was good land
mm-hmm.
along Turnbull Creek. They probably paid, I would say, in excess of $100,000 an acre.
Wow.
And then just to where things are going, we're getting away from the old ways. Yes, change is absolute. I don't like to see it any more than anyone else, and I fight it every chance I get. But the property that I'm on, I paid $2,500 an acre. I'm being offered $40,000 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
I won't sell it.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that you don't do.
Exactly. And that's
money talks.
That's the whole point right there. Things you don't do. Mm-hmm. And we
could just leave it
right there.
When you think about my father, and I'll say this, my father-in-law was too young for World War II, a little bit too old for Korea. He went in during the Marshall Plan. But while his brothers were off fighting in World War II, his father and him cleared during the time of the war, a young boy and an older man with hand tools cleared 50 acres of woods and turned it into farmland. That's what work is. That's what the work mm-hmm. ethic used to be. Did he
yeah.
like it? No, but that's what you did.
Right.
So there are things that you do out of necessity, and there's things you don't do out of knowing the literal blood, sweat, toil, and tears that people go through. They give their lives.
Yeah.
In East Tennessee, places that were homesteaded and people actually lost their lives and were buried next to the house on the side lot. The TVA came in and flooded out to make an impound lake to provide electricity and didn't really give the people any opportunity, if they had a mind to move the bodies. They just put them underwater. There's
yeah.
things you do not do.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And we wonder why we're in the condition as a country that we're in.
Yeah.
Because we're doing things we ought not to do, and we're not doing things we ought to do. It's time
yeah.
we get our heads screwed on straight.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
couldn't
Chris.
Agree more. Thank you, John. So, speaking of Jefferson and, you know, getting knowledged up, as I have put it over the years, a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. So it was notes on the state of Virginia. It was query number 8, right? The number of its inhabitants. That's where Jefferson said what he said. And what he said was specifically the quote that sticks in my mind is rapid population growth by as great importations of foreigners as possible founded in good policy. And you think of this not just in terms of, you know, people coming from somewhere else, but also, you know, between the states. Because there was a time when this, you know, was not the United States monolith, but it was these United States, the several separate and distinct states. So there was also that. So he said they will bring with them the principles of the governments they leave, imbibed in their early youth, or, if able to throw them off, it will be in exchange for an unbounded licentiousness, passing, as is usual, from one extreme to another. It would be a miracle were they to stop precisely at the point of temperate liberty. These principles, with their language, they will transmit to their children. You know, you think of California speak, maybe. Just kidding. In proportion to their number, they will share with us the legislation. I've proposed, you know, someone wisely quipped once, you know, 6 years. No participation in government for 6 years, which is about a Senate term. Long enough for you to sort of assimilate yourself. So Jefferson said they will infuse into it their spirit, warp and bias its direction, and render it a heterogeneous, incoherent, distracted mass. That's pretty articulate. If they come of themselves, they are entitled to all the rights of citizenship, but I doubt the expediency of inviting them by extraordinary encouragements. Could, you know, these things that we're talking about be considered or argued as extraordinary encouragements? I don't know. I think there's an argument to be made in there somewhere. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me till you use me up. Until you use me up.
My Welcome back. So, speaking of Jefferson on immigration and farming and trades, you know, I keep hearing Mike Rowe these days, and it reminds me of this whole conversation. Quickly, you know, I've talked in the past about what happened as a result of the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, the Hart-Celler Act, and the shift that was that ensued, obviously. And, you know, at the same time, we were getting, kind of like I was talking about yesterday, the Wahhabi Salafi radicalization, which had been going on for longer, but this just helped sort of import some of that here. Anyway, that's a different discussion. NPR even knows there was that 2006 article, 1965 immigration law changed face of America. So I've mentioned, you know, that whole conversation we've had before, but speaking of Jefferson's words and sort of the confluence of subject matter here, in a letter from Thomas Jefferson to John Lithgow, not that John Lithgow, January 4, 1805, Jefferson wrote, "I had under my eye when writing the manufacturers of the great cities in the old countries at the time present, with whom the want of food and clothing necessary to sustain life has begotten a depravity of morals, a dependence and corruption, which renders them an undesirable accession to a country whose morals are sound, or at least they were. My expressions looked forward to the time when our own great cities would get into the same state, but they have been quoted as if meant for the present time here." He didn't mean that. "As yet, our manufacturers are as much at their ease, as independent and moral as our agricultural inhabitants, as independent and moral." Agriculture, imagine. Not hamstrung by things like the AAA. "And they will continue so as long as there is vacant lands for them to resort to." And what did I just say? What are we seeing across the country? The gentrification of everything. Away goes the farm. "We sold the farm," pun intended. "Because whenever it shall be attempted," Jefferson wrote, "by the other classes to reduce them to minimum of subsistence, they will quit their trades and go to laboring the earth." Would that we still had those folks. So a first question is, we'll get to the first question Jefferson posits in his letter to John Lithgow, not that John Lithgow, January 4, 1805. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.